This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And I hope you had a great weekend, long weekend at that. Great holiday. Gang's all here ready to go. Voice is a little spotty today. So, you know, I was questionable. Some say doubtful. But I'm here today, so it's a little roughed up, just in case you want to alert the kids if they get in the car and go, "What's wrong with him, Dad?" Devin McCourty, NBC Sports, former defensive backstop, spying a little bit. David Pollack, former game day analyst, College Game Day. We'll look back on the weekend it was, and there's a lot to talk about. Bears at the Vikings coming up tonight. The Vikings are giving 3 to the Bears. Your phone call is always welcome, especially on Monday, best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. And stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. We say good morning to those watching on Peacock. Download the app if you haven't done so, so you can watch this program in real time behind the scenes. And gang's all here. Fritzy, Seton, Marv, Paulie, yours truly, the backroom guys. And Tyler's there to take your phone calls. 877-3DP-SHOW. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. In no particular order, the Eagles over the Bills in overtime. I believe that's the third game the Bills have lost on the final play of the game this season. Steelers showing life. They're 7-4. The Jags, 8-3. Here come the Broncos.
Let's go Broncos.
Thank you, John.
Broncos country, that's right.
Ravens at 9-3, beating the Chargers last night. As far as the big college football, Michigan, that's 3 straight against Ohio State. When you start to see articles that say, how much is Ryan Day's buyout? And I'm thinking, wow. This guy's lost, I think, 6 games since he's been the head coach there.
Ruh-roh.
But 3 of those games have been to Michigan. And that's what the season comes. It's like if he doesn't get fired or bought out next year at this time, it's going to be the same thing. If he has 10 wins, or they're undefeated, and you're facing Michigan at home, then you have to win that game. Now, that's a must-win. So if we're going to go must-win situations, next year, Ohio State, Michigan, Ryan Day, that will be a must-win situation. Yes, Marvin?
So if Ryan Day goes 6-6, but he beats Michigan, is that a successful season at Ohio State?
Well, that's not good either. That's not good either. But, you know, if you're 10-2 and you beat Michigan, then, you know, you probably hold on to your job. You know, you go back to John Cooper and Earl Bruce. Yeah, I don't know what their records were against Michigan, but probably not great. I know Urban Meyer went undefeated. He might have gone 7-0 against Michigan. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, John Cooper, when he was with the Buckeyes back in the 90s, he had a 2-10-1 record against Michigan. His had bad losses in 93, 95, 96. And they entered the game, Ohio State, undefeated back then, so it's kind of similar.
Mm. But those are a lot of games that he got to coach against
yeah,
Michigan.
Yeah.
A lot of games. All right, poll question today. What are we going to do, Seton?
Well, I mean, I was going to ask who had the worst weekend, but I think that's pretty clear.
Ryan Day or the field?
Ryan Day or the field?
Earth.
Mm. Mm. Bama
all of planet Earth.
Bama beats Auburn. Washington stays alive. Texas A&M. Never in my wildest dreams would I think, you know, Texas A&M is looking for a coach. They're going to hire Duke's coach. Now, if you said basketball, I'd go, okay. No football. Texas A&M got Duke's head coach, who I think was the defensive coordinator at A&M once upon a time. Indiana fires their coach. Houston fires their coach. Michigan State gets Oregon State's coach. Everybody got long-term contracts. That doesn't – who cares, you know? Yeah, all right, I'll leave. I'll go to Michigan State. Indiana owes their coach $20 million. Yeah, no big deal. No. Jimbo Fisher, you know, $75 million, or I don't know how much it is. Like, you know it's a lot when you don't know how much you're paying somebody to leave. Yeah. All right, what other poll question? So with Ryan Day versus the field in the first hour of the program?
Yeah, yeah. And then we also, Paulie sent over, if you just expand it slightly, who had the worst month, Ryan Day or Jim Harbaugh?
Think about it.
Well, Harbaugh's going to be coaching in the Big Ten title game and a chance to play for the national title.
And he's essentially a hero for some reason.
Yes.
I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah, after the game, it was, hey, everybody was against us. Not, I mean, you guys cheated. It's not like everybody's against you, but not everybody's for you. But this victimhood is silly. Like, you created this. So you won without your coach. Now you play Iowa, and you got a chance to play for the national championship, perhaps. So, I mean, this stays with Harbaugh. I guess it, you know, if Harbaugh ever came on again, then I would ask him about that. How do you shed this? It's there no matter what. And whether he did anything or not, he's still the one who was in charge, and he got penalized. Maybe it's not fair, but those are the rules. That's what it says in the Big Ten handbook here. But I don't look at us against the world. After that game, their players were like, oh, you know, nobody rooting for us and against the – yeah, exactly. Welcome to the world of the Houston Astros here. Yeah, Pauline.
However, though, Jim Harbaugh is more in danger of getting a contract extension than getting fired right now. I think he's closer to getting a new deal than he is to getting fired. So, like, his month might be look bad in 3 years from now when the NCAA hands down whatever. But right now, Ryan Day is in danger.
Well, Harbaugh's not in danger when you say danger of getting a contract extension. Ryan Day's in danger.
I guess I'm joking about, like, Harbaugh's, you know, people thought, like, oh, they took that contract extension away a few weeks ago. That's a pause. Yeah. They're going to bring him back.
Of course they will, unless he doesn't want to come back. Now, if he had lost that game, even though he wasn't coaching, then I don't know what the reaction would be to all of this. Might be, hey, if Jim was coaching, we would have won that game. But give credit to Michigan. They won the game. It was a good game. A lot of fun. No, a lot of back and forth there. Earl Bruce was 81-26-1, four Big Ten titles in 9 years at Ohio State. In those 9 years, he was 5-4 against Michigan.
Woo! Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. This is the stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. The Alabama game against Auburn, that wasn't supposed to be close. Alabama got it gift wrapped to them. Christmas came early, and they ended up winning that game. Hail Mary, fourth and, what, 31? The Grave Digger. Auburn made terrible mistakes. You know, you muff the punt. All you got to do, just catch it. That's it. Just hold on to it, and he slips. They, you know, recover the fumble. And then the back in the end zone is your friend. All you got to do is keep everything in front of you. How do you let the Alabama receiver get behind you? Inexcusable. Inexcusable. But Alabama lives to, you know, fight another day and, you know, show down with Georgia. But Auburn had that. Had that one, and that would have been the big surprise of the weekend. Here's Nick Saban on that play that helped Alabama beat Auburn.
Well, they've come a long ways, but believe it or not, we actually practice that play every Friday when we do walkthrough and we do special situations. We get in that formation. Everybody runs down the field and runs varying routes in the end zone. And, you know, Jalen made a great throw, but, you know, IB really kind of got himself in position where there was some room to throw it. You know, he pushed inside, and the DB was inside of him, and then he came back out, and Jalen threw it back out to him, and it was a great catch. It was a great throw, but that is a play that we actually work on. And I must admit that I think you have to be a little lucky for it to work, but I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Little push off by the receiver, but not enough where it was really egregious. But Alabama picks up the win. I'm just curious. I know Iowa, I don't even know what the line is against Michigan, but Iowa's in the Big Ten title game. What if Iowa would beat Michigan? And it's a neutral site. And Iowa, of course, doesn't score any offense, but they do have a really good defense. What if they would beat Michigan? Like one of those trap games with Michigan, let down after Ohio State. What would happen to Michigan? What's going to happen to Ohio State? Does Ohio State stay in the top four tomorrow night? You got Alabama in there. You got Georgia in there. You got Oregon and Washington going to meet head-to-head. So you got some really interesting games coming up this weekend. But this past weekend, that was sort of the last of the Big Ten, as we know it, the Big 12, the SEC, the Pac-12, this era. And it was kind of sad because the Pac-12 has had a pretty incredible year. They've been relevant. They've been fun. They've been a topic of conversation for a variety of reasons, but you say goodbye to that. And look, I've been around a long time. You know, the Pac-8, the Big 8, the Southwestern Conference. I mean, I can go down the list of all of these conferences, and they go away, and then we form something else. But, you know, after a while, you're like, I do like a little bit of tradition. I do like those rivalries. I do like these teams play in this conference, but those are long gone now. We'll get some phone calls here coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. By the way, when it comes to celebrating major sporting events, no other city compares to Las Vegas. It's a city where spectacle and celebration are woven into the very fabric of their community. Las Vegas, where conventions are challenged and the unexpected is embraced. This isn't just celebrating, it's celebration with an edge. So, our good friends in Las Vegas, we look forward to seeing them at the Super Bowl coming up in February. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. Say good morning, those watching on Peacock and our radio affiliates around the country, Fox Sports Radio and iHeartRadio as well. Once again, the Bears at the Vikings coming up tonight, and the Vikings are giving 3. We lead off with Paul in Iowa. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Well, best of the weekend. The Farmageddon game played in the snow. The visuals were awesome. Iowa State wins with only 12 passing attempts by their quarterback. But you don't need a lot of passes when your true freshman running back runs for 270. That was pretty awesome. Worst of the weekend, we received no warning last night that we were going to be stuck with Jason Garrett. That was awful.
Tirico said that on Thursday, by the way. That Jason Garrett was going to be in the booth for Chris Collinsworth. Buddha in San Francisco. Good morning, Buddha. What's on your mind today?
What up, DP?
Hey, man.
Good morning, boys. Let's ride, Fritzy. Look at you.
Let's ride.
Good. Holiday weekend was fire, DP. Niners looking good on Thanksgiving in Seattle. Nick Saban admits he's lucky. Alabama squeaking out that win, and the Pac-12 are going out and spectacular fashion. Pretty cool. But best of the weekend, Dan. Michigan and Lou Holtz, Dan, looking for Ryan Day after the game when the 110,000 people watching taking down OSU. That was beautiful, Dan. And think about Jim. Think about Jim, Dan, the last few weeks. He is just winning. I mean, he's just winning. And worst of the weekend, Dan, the Bills trying to be the new Chargers, Dan. I mean, 0-6 in overtime. they just find a way to win, to lose these little games, and I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. I can't help but feel like the Charger vibes they're putting out. So, boys, have a good week.
Thank you, Buddha. Yeah, Josh Allen rushed for 2 touchdowns. The Bills and Eagles game, that's the first game where a quarterback for each team rushed for multiple touchdowns. Last time that happened was 1950, the Bears and the Lions. And then
stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
And Jalen Hurts, that's 2 rushing touchdowns. He has 11 games in his career where he scored at least 2 rushing touchdowns. That passes Cam Newton for the most by a quarterback in NFL history. And when you start to look at that Eagles offense, Swift is wonderful. Jalen Hurts, those quarterback draws, those are really vital to their offense. And you do have, you know, good receivers. I don't know if Devontae Smith has been pretty good here lately, but A.J. Brown kind of quiet here recently. So they're still the best team in football. I don't think you get to the point where they are where you go, well, I don't know. But they have a couple of really important games coming up. And, you know, do they get nicked here or there? Probably. But they got to make sure they keep winning so Dallas doesn't get home field advantage. And Dallas will score on the Eagles. They have down through the years, and Dak is playing maybe his best football ever. But we'll look back on the weekend that was. We'll talk to Devin McCourty from Football Night in America. He'll stop by coming up. And is Bill Belichick, does he last the season? Somebody asked me that who works in the media covering the Patriots. Can he survive? And I go, he has to. Like, no matter what, he has to survive the year. After that, I don't think that he's back with the Patriots, but you're watching that game. Okay, Marvin, you worked that game, didn't you? Or did you work the Jets game?
The Jets game.
Okay. But you got paid to watch the Jets game.
I did. Okay. Yes.
All right. But at least you got to see the Dolphins. Did you get paid enough to watch? You worked that game?
I did, yes. Okay. All yes. Right. The check cleared, too.
Okay.
Great.
But I'm watching the Giants and the Patriots, and I'm thinking, you have to pay me to watch this game. I kept going, God, there's nothing here. But I was kind of fascinated by that there was nothing going on. And then Tommy DeVito, he played okay. All of a sudden, people go, hey, would you rather have Tommy DeVito or Mac Jones? And I go, God, I don't know if I ever thought I would get that question at any point in my life, but I got it yesterday. And I go, I guess Tommy DeVito? He looked okay, right?
He had some moments.
Yeah.
Hyatt had some moments.
Well, Tommy DeVito had a passer rating of 103.9 on your FM dial. The first undrafted rookie to record a passer rating of 100 or higher in consecutive starts. Let's go! 3 stats of the day.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes the stat of the day, yeah, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes the stat of the day.
Thank you, Darius. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Devin McCourty. Devin was doing the Jets game for Westwood One, the Jets and Dolphins. He got paid to do that game, too, but he'll join us coming up next. More phone calls as well. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Dynasty the King. King.
What's good, y'all? It's your main man, Michael Smith, esteemed NFL analyst and certified fantasy football legend. Allow me to present to you your new favorite fantasy football podcast, The Dynasty Exchange, hosted by my first-round rookie picks, Davis, Dylan, and Josh, three guys who most definitely know their stuff. They're the co-commissioners of the coolest and most cutthroat dynasty league you'll ever come across, the Yacht Club. And now they're the co-hosts of the most elite. Now make that the definitive dynasty program in the game. It's dedicated to only the most devoted of diehards. The guys like me who can't stay off Sleeper and KTC. And trust me, you won't regret making the choice to follow their Dynasty advice. Listen to Michael Smith Presents The Dynasty Exchange on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
More phone calls coming up on this Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Devin McCourty, he is a studio analyst for NBC Football Night in America, won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots, and he did work Black Friday with his brother and I in Eagle. It was the Dolphins and the Jets. He joins us now. Devin, if you didn't get paid to watch the Jets and the Dolphins, would you have watched the Jets and the Dolphins?
I would have probably caught a quarter or two and then I'd have found something else to do.
What stood out in that game?
I mean, it was obviously the Hail Mary interception, but just that phase, like we're watching the game and Tua throws an interception, pick six, the Jets go score, they miss the extra point, Miami gets the ball back, Tua throws another interception, only for the Jets to throw a Hail Mary that gets in, like 3 interceptions. And we looked at the clock. It was 58 seconds after the pick six. So all of this happened within a minute in a game. And then the rest of the game was just, it is what it is. There was not much excitement after that.
The Dolphins are interesting. I just don't know how good they are. Do you?
I think that's everybody's thing. Like, we know how they're going to perform against the teams that are subpar below. They show up. They usually handle business, but against the better teams. And it's not that they go and get blown out. They just fall short against the better teams. And it makes you wonder, like, okay, do they really believe that they can get over the hump? If there's a game down the stretch in December against a good team, or are they getting a playoff battle? Have they built up enough equity as a team that they know, all right, we're in the middle of the fourth quarter, we're going to execute and win? I don't know if they have that belief about themselves yet.
Would you be scared, or how scared of Tua would you be as a defensive back?
I would be scared. I from my time competing against Tua, for one, I never beat him at his time in Miami. But when he's in that offense, he's elite. And, you know, I think he gets a lot of criticism, but the times he's been hurt and guys have had to step up and play in that offense, it hasn't looked the same. You know, whether they've had Tyreek or Jalen Waddle out there, other quarterbacks haven't been able to make that offense look the way that it looks when he's there. So if you have to play that offense, it's not an easy, like, we're going to go do this and do that and shut them out. Even though I think defenses have played better, you know, now going down the stretch, but it's still scary playing against an offense with Tua handling and running the show.
Okay, give me your perspective as a former defensive back of you're facing Jalen Hurts. What are you concerned about?
That he's going to make the winning play. I mean, for Buffalo in that defense, at one point, in the first half, like Jalen Hurts had 50 yards passing. Like we're watching the game and we're in studio, so we're still live and working. But you know, me and Chris Sims are looking at the stats. I'm like, he has 50 yards passing. Then it gets up to, you know, I think 170 yards. And you're like, Buffalo's defense is doing. But then you get to the clutch moments in the game. He's rolling left, 2 yards from out of bounds, throws a beautiful ball over top of Poyer and Hyde and hits Zacchaeus in the back of the end zone. Like, that's a clutch play. So it reminded me a little bit of when you play like Tom Brady and those guys. They could have a bad day, but you always knew, like, if it got to that point in the game where you had to make a play or they had to make a play, more than likely they were going to make the play. And Jalen Hurts is starting to develop that this season.
But it feels like he knows he doesn't have to make every play. But Josh Allen, it feels like he thinks he has to make every play. So your game plan with Josh Allen, how different would that be facing him as opposed to Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, and it feels like that because it is that. Josh Allen does have to make those plays for this team to win. The scrambles, the five pump fakes and make a guy miss. Like, he has to make those plays where I think Jalen Hurts does. He goes into the game and he looks around him and he goes, hey, like, I have first team all pros at a lot of different positions on this team. I don't need to make that crucial mistake that hurts our team because somebody else will make the play. Where Josh Allen is sitting there, and I thought he did a great job in the game. Like, he was patient. He took what the defense gave him. But then you still looked up and you were like, wow, this is still a close game. Like, they haven't put this team away. And some of that was, you know, they miss a field goal. Like, all of those little things that show up put more and more pressure on Josh Allen. And we criticized the one interception and he threw to Bradbury. But it's like he made one mistake in a game where he had to be great time after time. That's hard to do. And it stinks because they still haven't released some of that burden from Josh Allen still after all of these years with him performing so hot.
We hear analysts say this about the receiver went the wrong way. Gabe Davis last night, as a defensive back, do you, like, the receiver has the ability to go either left or right, like he can, and then the quarterback has to adapt. Like, how does that work where you're trying to cover somebody and he's kind of deciding what he wants to do based off how you're playing him?
Yeah, and on that play, you saw, like, Philadelphia was in blitz zero. They were in an all-out blitz. Everybody had a man, and you see Slay, they're up there trying to disrupt timing because they know the pressure's going to get there. And usually as an offense, you all have to see the picture the same way. And it was interesting because as we're watching and they're cutting away to the guys on the sideline, you see Gabe Davis and Diggs talking, and they're going back and forth. And then it looks like Dave says something to Diggs, and he goes, oh, damn. Almost like, oh, that's what happened? I kind of see why you broke outside because of what you thought the defensive back gave you. And to me, that's just one of those things where the blitz worked. The timing was thrown off. Josh Allen's thinking, I'm just going to get this ball up. Gabe Davis is just going to run and go. And Gabe Davis is thinking, like, I'm going to get off the line of scrimmage and I'm going to break out to the corner route. And that little bit of kind of undecisiveness, I think, is caused by the blitz. So Philadelphia's defense did a good job on that play.
He's Devin McCourty. He works for Football Night in America on NBC, three-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots. How does it work getting Tom Brady's number when you play for the Patriots? Can you ask, or does Tom give you his number?
I asked, but I didn't ask right away. I didn't have his number for years, and then eventually I asked. But I do remember one time we had a big group chat. We were talking about something, and Adam Butler, who plays for the Las Vegas Raiders now, he was a young guy. And he saw Tom text, and he was like, Tom Brady, is that you? And Tom was like, yeah, it's me. He goes, Tom tells him to save his number, text him anytime. And like he was floored that now he had Brady's number.
But if you're asking Brady for his number, is it like asking a girl for her number?
It kind of feels like that. It's that, like, am I good enough to ask Tom Brady for, like, almost like, hey, is this girl just out of my league? Is she a little too cute? But Tom's super down to earth, so it always works out for guys.
Yeah, he could have given you a fake number. Let me ask you about the teams who can win a Super Bowl in the AFC. How many teams do you think truly can win a Super Bowl?
I mean, you obviously got to have Baltimore in there. Kansas City, because of Mahomes, I think they're always in it. And I would also throw Jacksonville in there. I think okay. The way Jacksonville has performed, I think you got to put them in that category. And then out of the AFC East, like we talked about before, I'm just not sold on Miami yet, being able to be over that hump. But if you said to me right now, in a world, can you see Miami? Yeah, I would say Miami's in that boat. And, you know, I think for the AFC North, we had the strongest division, the injuries, I think, takes everybody else out of that category to be able to win a Super Bowl. But I think Mahomes is the wild card, because if the team gets up to pace, he's the best quarterback to me in the NFL. And when you have that guy, I think you have the best odds to win a Super Bowl.
Okay, how many teams in the NFC can win a Super Bowl?
In the NFC, I think it's obviously Philadelphia. I think San Francisco. I think Dallas. I don't think Detroit is in that category. I know their record's still up there. They're still going to be one of the better teams. I'm not sold on Detroit being able to execute and win down the stretch to win a Super Bowl.
How many quarterbacks had a tell? You can say it now since you're not playing, but could you have an idea of that they're going to pass or he's going to throw it my way? Snap count? I mean, anything like that stand out with any quarterback?
Not to like just say definitely like this guy, but it was always like a whole offense thing. It wasn't just like, I remember we had a beat that we thought on Aaron Rodgers in 2018 December game in New England. So, you know, everybody's wearing their pouches and we get in at halftime and they're like, Aaron Rodgers has his hands in his pouch. And then we take him out right before he snaps the ball. And I'm kind of looking like, this is Mickey Mouse. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers. We're going to really go off. So we're like doing these all out blitzes. Like, we have all these things. And in the first half, we're just looking at the play clock because Aaron Rodgers is good. And we go out there in the second half. He takes his hands out and he gives us the fake and he just smiles at us. We all take off full speed and he's ear to ear smiling like, I got y'all now. And for the rest of the game, like, that tail went just like that.
That's great.
That was always a scary thing against the really good guys.
That's great. If Bill Belichick called and said, Devin, you think I should continue to coach? What would you say?
I would say yes.
In New England.
We would have a long conversation if it's in New England. I think, you know, I remember, you know, talking to Coach Schiano back at Rutgers, Greg Schiano, about when you're in one place for a long time, sometimes it's time for a change. I think we saw that with Brady a few years ago, goes out to Tampa, wins a Super Bowl, I think, in New England. Like, it could possibly be that time for Bill. So that first question I would answer in 5 seconds. But the rest of our conversation will probably go on for about 3 hours of trying to decide and talk about the pros and cons of being and staying in New England.
What if Robert Kraft called you and said, Devin, what do you think I should do at the coaching position?
It'd be the same thing. It'd be a long conversation because you don't just move on from Bill Belichick. I think we live in a world now that we go strictly off the results on the field right now. But my whole thing is, if you fire Bill Belichick, who comes in next that you say, I guarantee this guy gives me a better chance, or woman gives me a better chance next season to be better than Bill Belichick would. I think that's the hard thing. I think the ball is really in Bill's court of where he wants to be and what he wants to do. I think if I'm running the team and I give Mr. Kraft advice, I don't think it would ever be, hey, you need to move on and fire Coach Belichick.
All right, before I let you go, Tom Brady came out and talked about the state of football now, and it's, you know, the quality is not what it was when he played, which is such a long time ago, like 2 years ago, Tom. And then Alex Smith on NFL Sunday Countdown on the Mothership had this to say about Tom Brady.
Do you agree with Tom Brady?
I mean, a lot here, Sam. Listen, first off, let me just preface this. I love Tom. You go. But
you don't need to say that.
But just kidding. First off, he hasn't been retired that long. He was just playing. Like, he just won a Super Bowl in the current game. Like, is he discounting that one? And then my biggest complaint with this, and no offense to you guys, well, three of you guys, he played in the most uncompetitive division, I think, in NFL history. I mean, you come out of training camp, the biggest cupcake division, you got a ticket to the playoffs right away. Like, talk about mediocre. I completely disagree with this. I know he's referencing the rule change.
All right. I mean, it is a fair point. The AFC East, not that competitive there, Devin.
It is, but the hard thing whenever you talk about Brady is you pull up his record against any other division. You want to pull up against the AFC North, the AFC West. Like, he went and dominated. But I thought it was funny because some of the rule changes, like roughing the passer, was an ultimate benefit for the pocket passer like a Brady that sat in the pocket. But we always – I mean, I've talked to him at length about that. Like, we would watch plays where a guy would throw it over the middle and a guy would get smoked and they throw the flag, 15-yard penalty. And his first – the first thing he would say is, it's not the defender's – it's not the defender's fault. That's the quarterback. Like, he can't throw that ball over there. And I think when he said those comments, I think that's exactly the things he was thinking about, seeing these guys – get penalties, get suspended, get fined for hits that for a long time when we used to sit in the meetings, we would say Ray Lewis is going to be in the middle of the field and Bill would tell Tom, if you throw it over there, Wes is going to be in the hospital. We're going to get him next week. So you won't have him next week. So if you want him next week for the game, you better make sure you don't throw it to him right over the middle.
Did you ever smoke Tom Brady?
I didn't. We had an all-out blitz in 21 when we played Tampa. And just as I was getting to him, he threw it, and he looked at me. He goes, Dev, really? You don't go play zero against me? And I just turned around and went back to the huddle because I was like, this reminds me of many of our battles in practice, and somehow you still win.
Hey, great to catch up with you. Thank you for joining us, Devin. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Good talking to you, Dan.
That's Devin McCourty, NBC Football Night in America analyst, won three Super Bowls with the Patriots. And a three-time All-Pro. We'll take a break, update the poll results when we come back. Also, more of your phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Our play of the day is next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show, weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
By the way, the last NFL team, Seton was wondering, the Patriots have given up 10 points in back-to-back games and lost both of them. The last team to lose back-to-back games while allowing 10 or less points in each of those games. The New England Patriots in 1993, they lost 10-9 to Seattle and then 9-6 to the Colts as well. Unless you were paying me, I couldn't watch the Patriots and the Giants. And even then, if you were paying me, I don't know if I could watch it completely. All right, David Pollack, three-time All-American in Georgia and former ESPN college football analyst joining us on the program. All right, let me start with Alabama and Auburn. How does that happen? How does that happen, David?
Auburn. That's the only thing you need to say is Auburn. I feel bad, man. You mentioned the Patriots. It makes me think of the Jets, you know, like some, the stuff that have happened to the Jets over the years. But I was sitting there with my son, and my son goes, he's a ninth grader. He goes, rush two and drop everybody else. I go, no. I said, I'm bringing at least four because you get so much time in the pocket. Otherwise, and they're going to buy time, and eventually – 53-yard field, somebody's going to have a chance. You can't cover all the grass. But I didn't think Auburn did a good job. You can't turn your back to the quarterback. You can't not see the football on a 40-yard pass coming down the field. Your feet should be set in the end zone. Only Auburn. Feel bad for them, man, because they had the game won, dropped the punt, you know, late in the football game, gave Alabama the chance. And just like Alabama does, so many times they take advantage of it.
Imagine if Alabama had lost that game. Heading into this game against Georgia.
You know, remember a couple years ago when Georgia was one, they had that overtime thriller with Auburn, and it took the sails out of it. Everybody said Alabama's done. They looked horrible. Bryce Young got sacked 12 times, something like that. It definitely would have changed the dynamic, but Alabama's still, you know, in the playoff picture. They still got Texas, but it would have taken some of the steam out of this game. But this game's going to be awesome regardless.
Yeah, you have that game coming up, Michigan against Ohio State. The fallout from that, should Ohio State stay in the top four?
No, absolutely not. They shouldn't stay in the top four. And I would take them out now of the top five, six, seven. I'd put them behind Bama. And listen, here's the thing with Ohio State to me. Ryan Day is now 40-0, Dan, against the Big Ten, and 1-3 against Michigan. Like, and to me, that there's one reason, and this is going to sting Ohio State fans a little bit, but it's toughness. Like, Michigan lives in a state of tough. You know, listen, Ohio State, credit to them. You can tell they've worked on it. They want to be more physical. They want to run the football. But that's who Michigan is constantly. They've won the rushing battle the last 3 years, the reason they've won it. But, no, I think Ohio State would need – listen, if you watch their offense, they're okay. I mean, they're pretty good. They're not an elite offense. They're not a great offense. We remember the Notre Dame game, another good opponent they played early in the season. Like, I think Ohio State's good. I don't think they're Final Four team.
Is Ryan Day on the hot seat?
No, I don't think he is. I think that when you look at 40-0 versus the Big Ten and then 1-3 versus Michigan, I put it this way, I don't think he's going to get fired. Does this bring more pressure to him? Yes. Not only have you lost to Harbaugh, now you lost to an interim coach. Like, that's not good. But, man, it's hard to say somebody that's been that successful, you're going to fire him. I'm not saying it'd be unprecedented, but the dude's made the college football playoff a couple times. He's been there. But I definitely think this is disappointing. This hurts. This stings. It's something that's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. But, man, are you going to fire a guy that's been this successful and this good? I don't see that happening.
Yeah, but you know what this comes down to? It's can you beat Michigan? Can you beat Ohio State? You can beat Purdue and Indiana and Minnesota, and nobody cares.
Penn State, yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, and winning big games, and they haven't won big games. I mean, you see, against Georgia, they had an opportunity to win the game, but they didn't, and they've been there to win to big games. I get it. I understand it. I just, who else are you going to go get now and be like, oh, yeah, that's the guy. Like, that's the guy that's going to replace Ryan Day and be a clear cut above what he's been able to accomplish.
Okay, let me go back to the toughness thing, because Lou Holtz brought this up. Others have brought this up, that Ryan Day doesn't have tough teams. How do you get a tough team?
Toughness isn't like a something that's all of a sudden manufactured on game day. Like, toughness is the way you live. Toughness is the way you practice every single day. It's the way you talk to the kids. Like, you have to bring energy and effort and toughness every single day. If your teams take on the persona of your coaches, that's a fact. Like, however you live constantly. So I think because they've been so spread, throw the football, like running the football was kind of an afterthought. I think it's been kind of left behind. I'll say this. This game, Ohio State wasn't manhandled like they have been in the past. They showed more toughness. Fourth down and short, though, I got to see you believe in yourself and in your team, and you got to go for it. It's a couple mistakes away, but toughness is something that is given to your team through you, the way you coach them and the way you take them through practice every single day.
I never thought in my lifetime that Texas A&M would hire a head coach and hire that coach away from Duke. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yes. But when this came up, though, with A&M, I thought Elko was a great fit for a couple of reasons. Like, he's already been there. He knows the culture of A&M, super successful. He's also the opposite of Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher is a different bird. And I don't know. Jimbo Fisher's done a really good job accumulating talent, but a zero good job of doing this and bringing people together. And obviously, Elko was not the first, you know, name that they had on their list, and they went after other people, and so be it. But I think really, really good defensive coach, really, really good dude, disciplined, tough, not going to be Jimbo-esque. Everybody will be excited to see what they do on offense because, you know, Jimbo and the offense obviously has been lacking behind for the last several years.
Yeah, they got to get a quarterback. Can't they buy a good quarterback?
With all that oil money, dog, you figure, right? I mean, they're spending it. I mean, and here's the thing. Like, you spend all that money to buy Jimbo out. Now you got to get everybody excited again, and you got to get everybody giving again. And I know all that money there is different than our money. Like, it's kind of change cushion compared to me and your bankroll, and not I ain't in Dan's world either, by the way. But, like, it's the money's there. The spending is going to be there. So I need somebody that can develop, somebody that can build a culture. And I think that's why Elko's your guy.
This was like the last weekend of college football as we know it, you know, with the Pac-12,
yeah,
and a Big Ten, SEC, playoffs, all of those things. What concerns you the most moving forward?
Well, I think we've already lost the rivalries. Those are gone. The travel across the country, like, it's going to be strange, man. And you obviously kill most of the budgets of a lot of other teams in the offseason. They're going to have to be inconvenienced the most. Football won't be inconvenienced as much. But I think just losing the luster that was college football, losing the traditions, losing the passion, some of that stuff, man, I know it's like the old guy talking probably, and I love watching this, I love watching that, but a lot of those things are going to be gone. A lot of those rivalries are going to be gone. A lot of those coaching staff and those teams, like a team like Washington State who almost beat Washington, like, where do they go? Do they fall off the map now? Do they? I mean, Oregon State, you know, their coach now goes to Michigan State, obviously. Like, do they fall off the map? Like, it stinks for those type of programs that we've had. We've seen some history. We've seen some cool things from. And those things, where do they go now?
Who gets your Heisman vote?
Jaden Daniels. I mean, listen, people are going to come at me, I know, for the three losses. But, dude, if you watch college football every weekend, I have a standing tweet every Saturday. Jaden Daniels is the best player in college football. Jaden Daniels is the best player in college football. He's got 90 plays of 20 plus yards or more. You know what the next closest is, Dan? 61. 61. Like, he's a human highlight film. He can't control that his defense is stuck, but man, over 1,100 yards rushing, over 50 touchdowns. And if you want to talk about over 50 touchdowns, that's Cam Newton. That's Joe Burrow. That's Tebow. That's that type of, you know, numbers that he's put up this year. He's the best player I've seen. I'm so interested to see him go to the next level because he's got some Lamar to him, some of that shake and that slight build, but throws the football a lot better, especially at this point in his career. But, man, he's to me, every week I turn on the television and I watch, he's the best player.
And then you got probably the two favorites. They're both transfers with, you know, Daniels and Bo Nix.
Yeah, and Bo Nix is really, really good. And how about that story, Dan? Like, Bo Nix comes in as a freshman, you know, to Auburn, his dad's alma mater, you know, beats Oregon, and then the sizzle comes off and the program leaves, and then he goes and rebuilds himself. And I'll tell you this, too. I think Bo Nix is a first-round pick. Like, that's how much his story has been turned around of being left for gone, and now – leads the nation in completion percentage, passing yards, like doing a great job carrying Oregon. And he's a great player, but watching him and Jaden Daniels, the rushing component, the explosive play component, man, that's to me the separator.
But I wonder, though, this weekend with Oregon and Washington, and if Bo Nix has a big game, everybody has to have a standalone game, and he would have another opportunity for a standalone game where Daniels would not.
100%. And listen, the voters in the past, they want you to be on a national championship contender. And so I think you got Penix and Nix both still alive. The Washington quarterback, his best game, one of his best games was against Oregon. He goes and lights up Oregon again. I think people are going to be like, wait a minute, you got to be on a championship team, which I don't agree with, by the way. That doesn't make you the best player because you have the best team around you. I don't agree with that at all. I never have. And the way I vote isn't that way. But Bo Nix has an opportunity, a stage, avenge a loss. After last week, too, against Oregon State, you've been a really good ranked opponent. Dan, that's the best he's looked. They were explosive. It wasn't dink and dunk. Like, he was taking shots. It was him making big-time plays. You do it again against Washington with everybody watching, you could go get that thing.
Great to talk to you again. Thank you, bud.
Great to hear from you, Dan. See you, brother.
David Pollack, three-time All-American at Georgia and a member of the College Football Hall of Fame and former ESPN college football analyst. Couple of phone calls here. John in Miami. Hi, John. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend coming up in a little bit. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you? Just a quick best and worst of the week.
Yep.
As you may know, New Mexico State has not made a bowl for 58 years up until 2018. We're going bowling again for 2 years in a row. And wouldn't it be interesting if we played Minnesota with Jerry Kill in a rematch game there? And the worst was we were up by 8. With 55 seconds left in basketball against Louisville, they tied it up, and we had 6 players foul out and finished the game with 4 players. How about that?
Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you for updating us on New Mexico football and basketball. New Mexico State.
Oh,
yeah. Gus in L.A. Good morning, Gus. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Mr. Patrick. Hope all you boys had a great weekend. Best and worst of the weekend. Best of the weekend. My Steelers going into a nasty, ugly Cincinnati stadium, bad weather, bad offenses and everything, and still managed to get 400 yards of offense with that ugly offense that we
had.
Yay,
they finally outgained somebody. Yay.
Oh, my God. But watching that game, man, you would never know. And then worst of the weekend, I saw that in the Bills-Eagles game, I think his name is Shaq Lawson, defensive tackle, defensive end, went and approached a fan from Philadelphia. Look, I get it. Eagles fans are like in a world of their own. They're not the prettiest or the best. But seriously, what's going to happen one of these days? It's like, look, dude, I get that NBA players, they approach fans, and NBA players cannot fight to save their lives. If an NFL player were to connect with a fan, that is a giant versus a normal human. We've got serious problems here. It was not a good look for the Bills or for Shaq Lawson. You know, just an ugly, ugly thing that could have been even worse.
Yeah, and I don't know what is said, and in that moment, and then somebody reacts to it. I mean, we see this. There seems to be so much social media of videos that are out there with just fans on fan violence. I mean, a crazy amount, and probably because more people have cell phones and they're recording these. But, you know, the NFL is going to come down hard on Shaq Lawson. And rightfully so. You can't engage. You can't. You want to, you can't. If you do, you pay the price. Flip in Rowley. Hey, Flip.
Hello, hello, DP Danettes, first time, long time, 5'10", 230. Got a quick best and worst of the weekend. Best of the weekend, my NC State women's basketball team taking number 3 Colorado to the woodshed by 18. Quietly the hottest team in the country after beating UConn as well. Shout out to Marv. And worst of the weekend, Drake May is going to be leaving UNC after the season, and NC State won't have the opportunity to beat him anymore. We're only going to be 3-0 against him, and it's going to be tough to see him go.
All right. Thank you, Flip. By the way, Flip was calling from Raleigh. Tyler spelled it Rowley, and I'm going, where is Raleigh? And maybe he was spelling that out phonetically for me. From Raleigh. Okay. He's busy. Tyler's got a lot of things going on back there. Oh, Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al. What's on your mind? Are you the division-leading Falcons right now?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And all thanks to Jesse Bates, Dan.
Yeah.
All thanks to Jesse Bates and his two turnovers in the red zone. That's my best. Quick throwback to last week. Am I the only person who goes sock, sock, pants, shoe, shoe? And
oh, no, no. I, like sock, sock, pants, shoe. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, see.
Excellent. I'm usually pants, sock, sock, shoe, shoe, but on occasion, it's definitely sock, sock, pants, shoe, shoe. It happens. It happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, worst of the weekend, University of Illinois in their fourth quarter, so close to being bowl eligible for the first time in I don't know how long, and they just poop the bed and let Northwestern run up the score and just completely dash my dad's hopes for another bowl game in University of Illinois history.
Thank you, Al. Thoughts and prayers for your father. Ben in Minnesota. Hi, Ben. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan and Danettes.
Hi, Ben.
Hand size 9.5.
Okay.
I went under another surgery here a couple weeks ago. I had a plantar fasectomy, so I'm back on the bed, laying in the bed again. And I was wondering, I was going to tell you guys, keep up the good work, and I was wondering if anybody would be willing to take a pie to the face bet with the Viking Bears tonight.
Are you able to keep up the good work there, Ben?
I'm trying with an e-scooter, yes.
All right, good. All right. What's the bet?
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings to win tonight, and I was wondering if anybody would be willing to take the Bears tonight.
Well, wait, straight up?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not an enticement there, Ben. Are you on medication?
Unfortunately.
Yes, Paulie.
Like a vasectomy bet? He has to reverse his? One of us has to get one? Is that up in the stakes?
No. This is a pie to the face.
Oh, I thought it was vasectomy.
Yeah. No. This isn't a vasectomy bet. Correct, Ben?
Correct.
Okay. would anybody like to... Nobody's going to take you up on that, Ben. But good luck to your Vikings tonight. They're favored by 3.
I hope so.
All right. Thank you. Yes. I wasn't sure what medical procedure did he have. Did he have a reverse vasectomy?
He had some fancy word before vasectomy. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.